Well, good morning. It is so good to see every one of you here today. God bless you for being here. Thank you, Pam and Jessa and Merle and Bev for helping lead our worship this morning. Really appreciate it. And don't forget, I want to remind you, we do have a congregational meeting and a potluck lunch right after this service. So you all are invited to stay for that. And if one thing brethren know how to do, it's eat. That's right. It's eat. All right. I especially want to thank Charlie for helping get up some of our Christmas decorations and more next week, right? Looking forward to that. Well, this is the first Sunday of Advent. It is a time of preparation. And before we turn to the Word of God, let's talk to the God of the Word. Would you join me in prayer, please? Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for meeting with us here today. You promised where two or three were gathered, you'd be in the midst. Thank you that we live in a land where the celebration of our Savior's birth is a national federal holiday. We are truly blessed. Please forgive us where we have made Christmas about us and not about Jesus. Prepare us to be messengers of the good news of Christmas, that a Savior was born. Help us reach the lost in our community. We ask all of this in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, don't you love this time of year? It's a wonderful time of year. Stores are packed with shoppers, people buying gifts. Christmas music plays in the background. We go down the basement and we go up in the attic and we get boxes packed away months ago. And then we put up our decorations and we get ready for Christmas. Homes are decorated with lights and trimmings. Yards become showcases of Christmas splendor, and everybody's getting ready for Christmas. I wonder how you get ready, what your traditions are to get ready for Christmas. Every family has their own traditions, don't they? Some people put up Christmas lights the day after Halloween. Did you have anybody in your neighborhood? We did, yeah. Some people wait till the day after Thanksgiving or maybe the day before. And long-range planners, however, began to shop last January in the after-Christmas sales. I don't know if that's any of you, but there's some people that do that. Some people wait for Christmas in July, and some people wait for Christmas Eve. But in some homes, the house is transformed for Christmas. We have special dishes and glasses that we like to use in December. I wonder if you do. We put up special decorations that are beautiful. And then, of course, the final preparations will involve the gifts that we're going to give. Of course, it wouldn't be Christmas without a trip to the mall, maybe four or five times, right? We go on shopping so that we can give and receive gifts on Christmas Day, right? Isn't that why we go? That's why we go. And I imagine that something similar happens in your house, too. Well, as I thought about this last week, it occurred to me that what we do to get ready for Christmas is a great illustration of how we should prepare our hearts. Christmas is a great time to think about preparing ourselves to celebrate Christmas. We get so busy with the accoutrements, we maybe fail to prepare ourselves. Whether we want to admit it or not, many of us get our homes ready for Christmas without giving much thought to our hearts. We're reminded over and over that Jesus is the reason for the season, right? But Jesus faces some pretty stiff competition from retailers, revelers, and as a friend of mine likes to call it, relatics. By the way, that's what Macy's looks like, okay? We've been there. It's crazy, right? So Jesus has a lot of competition. So what's a Christian to do at Christmas? How can we, as followers of Jesus Christ, really keep Christmas about Christ? How should we get ready to celebrate the real reason for the season? Now, some people go on the offense. Here's what I mean. You know about the war on Christmas? They blow up their friends' Facebook feeds with posts like, you know, keep Christ in Christmas. I call that going on the offense. But perhaps the Bible has a better answer. I want to invite you, if you have your copy of the Bible with you, to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 8, and I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. I invite you to follow along. We're also going to have the words up on the screen. The Bible talking about Jesus in Matthew 5 says this, "Now when he," that's Jesus, "saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will show mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. This is the word of God for the people of God today. Now, this part of the Bible we call what? The Sermon on the Mount. And of course, Jesus' disciples were seated there around him listening to his words. If it was a modern school, let me just tell you what else would have been said. James would have said, Lord, is this important? John would have said, do we have to take this? And Peter would have said, is there a test? That's what we run into in school. But thankfully, they didn't say that. They paid attention and recorded it for us. So let's think about how this might affect our preparing for Christmas. Just like you need to clean the house before decorating, personal preparation starts with a clean heart. A clean heart. A clean heart makes you happy. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The word blessed means happy in the original Greek language of the New Testament. So Jesus is saying that the pure in heart are those who are happy. Those who are happy. Well, why would they be happy? Because he said one day they're going to what? See God. We're going to see God. Sounds really simple, does it? All you need is a pure heart. What about you? Is your heart pure? I don't know about you, but there are days when my heart seems more polluted than pure. I can still get angry when someone cuts me off while driving, and I'm on I-81 almost every day. And though it happens less than when I was younger, I can get upset over insignificant problems. I get frustrated when my best plans get unraveled. And I'm tempted to be jealous when I hear of others whose achievements or blessings surpass my own. Now, maybe none of this applies to you. Maybe you aren't like me. Maybe you have your life all together, just complete like you want it. Maybe you have no problem with this pure in heart issue. But for those of you who are like me and struggle with this, I have a question. Just how do we become pure in heart? How do we do that? What's the solution? Well, I have some bad news for you. There's nothing you can do to make your heart pure and clean. There's no ivory soap for the heart. Something you can use in the shower, you don't step out a new person. But I also have some very good news for you. There is one who did it for you. Jesus Christ lived the life that you and I should have lived. He died the death on the cross that we should die for our sins. And then he rose from the dead so that we could be forgiven and receive his gift of righteousness. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. That's just too good to be true. And it would be if Jesus hadn't been born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago and died on the cross for us. And that's why this Christmas tree is one of my favorite Christmas trees. Isn't that awesome? A cross in the middle of a Christmas tree. I think that'd be really neat. It reminds us what Christmas really means. As Bev pointed out, Jesus was born to be our Savior, and to do that, he had to die on the cross for our sins. And the first step to Christmas joy is when you stop trying to be perfect on your own and accept God's solution to a clean heart and a new you. Your heart begins with loving and worshiping Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. God is the one who cleans the heart. All you need to do is ask him. How do you do that? Well, pray with the psalmist. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He can do it. He can do it. Well, the next step in Christmas preparation is, I'm calling this new priorities. This is like the rearranging we do in our homes. We put away Thanksgiving decorations. Why? To make way for the Christmas decorations. Christmas brings a new priority to our decorations, and Jesus Christ brings a new priority to our lives. What are those new priorities? Well, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, the next chapter, he says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, speaking about God, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, what kind of things is he talking about? Well, if you remember the context, just before that, he says, you know, don't go around asking, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? And those are the things that we all worry about. Jesus says, no, what you need to do is seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, and all those things will be added to you as well. He says, if God can take care of the birds, he can surely take care of you. So according to Jesus, what should be the number one priority in our life? We should seek first what? His kingdom and his righteousness. You remember years ago, Ford used to have a commercial, job one, quality is job. What's job one for the Christian? Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and God will take care of everything else. But instead, what do? We go around worrying about, you see how much groceries cost? I got to buy new clothes, right? The latest styles keep changing. Don't worry about that. God's got it covered. But let's be honest. What's the most important priority in your life? I want you to think about that. What's your most, I don't know what it is for you, but here's some possibilities. Looking good. The approval of parents or friends. Family. Pleasure. Hunting. I saw a guy today with a shirt on that said, hunting isn't just what I do, it's who I am. Success, maybe it's good grades, maybe it's money. Those things can become a god. See, how do I know if it becomes a god? Because it makes me feel alive. When you got money in your hand, how does it make you feel? When you're looking good, how does it make you feel? When people say, oh, you look great today, how does it make you feel? Be careful. It can become a god. Whatever is number one priority in your life, that's your master. That's what you're serving. When Jesus made this challenge of seeking the kingdom of God first, he was giving us, listen to me, he was giving us the cure for every worry and everything that can destroy your life. Think about that. Right there is the cure. God wants you to succeed in life, okay? He wants you to succeed in life. And Jesus makes it clear that if we're to succeed in life, our focus must be on God first. Do you believe that? Do you do it? That's the challenge. You know, an essential part of Christmas is rearranging the furniture, just as we rearrange our homes and our schedules and other aspects of our lives for Christmas. God wants us to rearrange our hearts for Jesus. Will you make room in your heart this Christmas season for Jesus to be Lord? Jesus needs to be more than just one of our Christmas ornaments. He needs to have first place. This is one of my favorites, a Jim Shore Christmas ornament. I love that one, don't you? Santa Claus kneeling by the babe in the manger. But I think the best way to have joy in your heart is to let joy help you with your priorities. We used to sing a little song about joy. Jesus, others in you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. Some of you may remember that little kid's chorus. Jesus, others in you, in the heart of each girl and each boy. J is for Jesus because he takes first place. O is for others, we meet face to face. Y is for you, and whatever you do, put yourself last and spell joy. Good reminder, isn't it? It's biblical, by the way, and it works. It works. The reason some people are so unhappy is they want life to be all about them. And if everything doesn't go the way they want to and people don't behave the way they want to, they're not happy. So what's the solution? Put Jesus first. Let the joy of the Lord fill your heart. Let it be your strength. And when we put Christ in the center of our lives, everything else comes together. Everything else comes together. And then the blessings of God begin to flow into our lives and overflow into the lives of others. You know, it's easy to become so busy getting ready and celebrating the season that we completely miss the reason for the season. See that picture, Merry Stressmas, and Happy Holidays. Yeah. We focus on shopping for the right gifts, and we forget to tell others about God's perfect gift. Start a conversation sometimes when gifts come up. Have you got the perfect gift yet? You know what the best gift I'm getting this year is? Talk about Jesus. You'd be amazing at the opportunities there are if we think about it. Folks, we're not prepared for Christmas until our priorities are in line. So to get ready for Christmas joy, you need to have a clean heart. You need to have rearranged priorities. And then let me suggest some new decorations for your heart. How does God decorate? Look at what the prophet Ezekiel said. God says, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. He goes on to say, I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. God says, I'm going to change your want to. That's what we struggle with, isn't it, is the want to. We know what we should do. It's the want to. God says, I'm going to change that for you. I'm going to put my spirit in you. The Apostle Paul adds this. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's what? A new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. God decorates a heart by getting rid of the old and creating something new. And when God decorates a heart, Jesus becomes L-O-R-D, Lord. He calls the shots. He has complete control over our life. Far too often, we only give God partial control. We let him take over the parts we think he can handle. You know, someone said, if you can trust the puzzle manufacturer to put all the pieces in that box, can't we trust God to take care of all the pieces of our life? God wants to take your life and he wants to make it even more beautiful, but we're afraid he's going to mess it up, aren't we? Let me remind you, he's God. Will you trust him today? God wants only the very best for your life. But he waits for us to give him permission to begin the work. He wants to decorate your life by blessing you. He wants to give you something completely new today, a new joy. Okay, preparing for Christmas personally means a clean heart, rearranged priorities, and a new interior decorations. And then finally there can be the gift exchange, which is what all people want to talk about. One of the greatest joys of Christmas is in the giving. It's better to give than to receive, Jesus said, right? I don't always enjoy the shopping and the wrapping gifts, but I love the giving of the gifts. The same may be true for you. You love to watch people tear into those presents and then say, oh, it's just what I wanted. It's just what I want. There's nothing like that feeling, is there? It might surprise you, but God loves to give too. God began the giving. You remember the most famous verse in the Bible? What does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. God started the gift exchange by giving his Son and giving us the hope of eternal life through Jesus. How will you respond? Yeah, I suggest that you give yourself again to Jesus. After a person hears the new good news about Christ, that he died for their sin, a choice has to be made. Am I going to stop trying to be perfect on my own and be good enough for God on my own, or am I going to accept the righteousness that God gives me in Christ Jesus? If your answer is yes, then you're ready to give yourself to Christ, to become part of God's forever family. Speaking of Jesus, the Bible says, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, but born of God. Jesus took what you and I deserve on the cross so that you and I could get what he deserves as a child of God. Think about that. And so if you will say, Father, please accept and adopt me, not because of what I have done, but because of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. If you'll do that, the Bible says you become a child of God that very day. God will give you eternal life through his Son. Let me tell you, folks, that's all that matters. One day, if I'm standing by your casket and your loved ones are there, they're only going to ask one thing. Will I see him again? Will I see her again? And that all depends on what you do with Jesus. And I tell you, one of my greatest joys as a pastor is to be able to give the affirmative and say, yes, you'll see them again because they love the Lord. Had the gift of eternal life. The Bible says God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Folks, eternal life is the only gift that truly keeps on giving. Well, have you cleaned and decorated your house for Christmas? Have you all done that this year? Time's a-wasting. But if you have, you know, it's a great beginning. It's a great beginning. Let it remind you to let God clean your heart by forgiving your sin and giving you a new heart, rearranging your priorities and redecorate your life with the righteousness that only Christ can give and the blessings that he gives. And of all the presents you give and receive this year, don't forget to give God your life and receive from him the gift of eternal life through faith in Christ. This year, the wonder of Christmas can come alive for you in a brand new way if you open your heart and allow God to prepare you to celebrate the birth of the Savior. Will you trust him today? Will you share the good news of Christ's birth with your family? We buy an Advent calendar. We open it with our grandsons. We don't get the one with chocolate. And we have the one about the Christmas story. And we look for new ways to help point them to Jesus. We got one of those little play school nativity sets that the little ones can. They love playing with it. Think of new ways to introduce Christ to them and make sure the focus stays on Jesus. And if you're a child of God, I invite you to rededicate your life to Christ today. Tell God that your relationship with him is going to be number one from now on. Give him all your love, all your worship, and obey him only. Let's pray. Lord, it's amazing that we do live in a country that celebrates the birth of the Savior. Lord, we've heard from you today. We dedicate ourselves anew to focusing on Jesus. Give us eyes to see. Give us Jesus' eyes to see the opportunities around us every day at the store, in the mall, wherever we are, to talk to people and point them to Christ. Help us not have an opportunity to point our families to Jesus this year of Christmas. But God, you would redeem the holiday in our homes and draw our children and grandchildren to follow Jesus forever. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for loving us and sending Christ to redeem us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And for our closing chorus, we're going to...
Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.